Rise to the Sun is a book about two girls named Toni and Olivia who are coming off the heels of two very difficult years. Toni is grieving the loss of her father. Olivia has just had a breakup that's made her an outcast, both at home with her family and at school. And the two go to music festival in search of one last epic weekend before they embark on the next big chapters in both their lives. When they get there, they find each other and realize in order to accomplish all the things over the course of the weekend they want to accomplish, not only do they need to rely on each other, but they need the music more than they ever thought possible.
And so the novel is set at the Farmland Music Festival, and it is a place that the character Olivia describes as at one point being a place where she feels free and safe, completely at home. Since she feels that way about this space, what drew you to set this novel at a music festival, especially for these characters?
Live music has been a huge part of my coming of age and sort of my understanding of self. And so it felt really organic to me to set a story like this about two girls who are both sort of stumbling through this chapter in their lives, trying to figure out what they want and what they need and who they want to be. And for me, live music spaces always sort of, if not provided an answer to those questions, at least provided me a home and a space to figure those answers out. So I go to Bonnaroo every year with my best friend. Mm-hmm. And the first time I went, I had never felt so free. Like, I'd never felt so able to let go of all these ideas about shame and embarrassment and just dance like nobody cared and talk to strangers in a way that made them feel like family and sing at the top of my lungs, regardless of what it sounded like, just because it felt good. And so I wanted to give that same type of freedom to these characters and put them in an environment where they had the room to be a little messy, make some mistakes, and find the music that they lost.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of music and the book, is there a passage you would like to share? And is there anything we should know before to set the scene?
Yeah, I'm going to read a bit from the second chapter, which is from Toni's point of view. Toni lost her father 8 months before the book takes place, and she is trying to figure out what that means for her life and where she's supposed to go next. The thing is, no one could have prepared for the way we lost my dad. But that didn't change the gnawing emptiness that had taken up residence inside of me over the past 8 months. I don't know if I believe in a higher power or life after death or any of the stuff the minister said at my dad's funeral, but countless summers spent at the greatest music festival in the world on a former farm in Rattletail, Georgia, along with 60,000 other music fans watching sets from top his sunburnt shoulders, taught me one inalienable truth, that somewhere in the light years of space between the spiritual and the scientific, between the known and the ineffable, there's live music. There's Jimi Hendrix playing a 2-hour set at Woodstock that revolutionizes rock and roll forever. There's Beyonce becoming the first Black woman to ever headline Coachella and delivering a performance that redefines a culture. There's Bob Dylan going electric at Newport Folk in 65 and Queen reuniting at Live Aid 20 years later. Live music is a true thing. It holds the keys to the universe, and all you have to do is pay attention.
I love that. A lot of Toni's storyline, too, she really struggled with, like, she had so much love for her dad, but then also there was a point where she had a conversation with her mom where she kind of recognized what music had actually taken from her as well, because it's given mm-hmm. so much to her, but he was, like, out on the road, and he wasn't able to, you know, say goodnight before bed. And so it was also interesting that you touched on that relationship with music to her as well. Without giving too much away, you also bring up this conversation of guns and how they instill constant fear in us, especially in large crowds, such as a music festival. So why was it important for you to incorporate this topic in this book with this setting?
I think for me, there is no conversation about public spaces, full stop, without having a conversation about this uniquely American type of violence. There is a lust for blood in this country, the likes of which no other developed nation in the world sees. And we have the means to stop it. We have the means to step in and ensure that people can go about their days and about their lives. They can go to the grocery store or to the club or to the movie theater or to a concert, and they can be safe. They can feel at home in their bodies without having to fear for their lives. And we don't. And so, in my opinion, if there's a story about how these spaces can make us feel free, then I also should talk about the way that these spaces can make us feel afraid or can make us feel bound. And so the story was always a love story, but it was also always intended to be a story that talked about the things that hurt us. Mm-hmm. I should say this is like it is a joyous book, but I do think that, like, for me, a lot of like the heaviness of the book is tied up in grief and about this idea that, like, even if we're here and happy, that here-ness and happiness can be snatched away from us. So it's a question of, do I make the decision to love somebody anyway, knowing that everything we have is fragile, everything that we have is able to be taken away from us with the pull of a trigger. And so, you know, it's one of those things that I'm still very much reckoning with. I'm still thinking my way through. But when I sat down to write Rise to the Sun, it felt unavoidable.
You've mentioned before about the importance of giving your characters a happy ending. However, it doesn't come easily for Toni and Olivia, especially Olivia, because although she is a hopeless romantic, there is also this self-sabotaging pattern that she falls into when there's a possibility that things won't work out in her favor. And so I wanted to ask, was there a specific narrative in society that you noticed and wanted to call attention to that caused these Black young queer women to believe that they don't deserve a happy ending or don't think it's possible, and therefore they are more prone to those kind of patterns?
You know, with Olivia in particular, it was really important to me to put a character on the page that was very messy. Olivia is, at her core, a really good person, but she struggles to act in a way that, one, doesn't sabotage herself, but two, doesn't sabotage her relationships with the people around her, including her best friend. And part of the reason why it was so important for me to put a messy, you know, queer Black girl on the page is because I wanted to complicate this idea that there are only two narratives for Black characters or queer characters, which is either, like, there's a trauma narrative, it's like, you can be queer, but you're gonna suffer, or you can be happy, but in order to attain that happiness, you have to be perfect. You have to be the top of your class, and you have to be incredibly thoughtful, and you have to be a philanthropist, and you have to be all these things. Olivia's not any of that. Olivia is a pretty mediocre student by all accounts. She is pretty careless with her heart, but also with other people's hearts. And she's doing the best she can, but sometimes her best is not very good. But the thing that I wanted to illustrate was that those things don't preclude her from being worthy of love or care or affection. Maybe it's harder to see the humanity in her because she's not perfect. But that is where we need to sit. Those are the ideas that we need to upend and we need to reconsider, is that a Black girl has to be everything for all people all the time. No, Black girls can be a mess. Black girls can make mistakes, and Black girls should still, in the end, get the love and care they deserve.
Leah, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.